والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، أما بعد. Yesterday we did the incident about how in times before people were very cultured. The story as narrated was when he went to visit a certain person and he called his son, and the son delayed, and the person was upset. When I call you, why do you take your time in coming? Why don't you respond? We carry on. I have related the qissa, or the story, of the Khan Sahab in order to show you what it is to be cultured, what is etiquette and respect between seniors and juniors, what is the effect of ilam. Culture is something else from what we understand it to be. We understand culture is very different from what the reality of culture is. There are orchards belonging to ordinary people, and there are orchards belonging to the nobility in the Nawabs. The worker in the Nawab's garden is called a Mali. He will prune the trees in such a manner, cutting off the branches at the bottom and trimming the branches above, that one feels that one can spread a charpai on it and lie down. There are people, they are gardeners. They are ordinary gardeners. You take a person from the road, come just to my garden, he'll do it. But what is he going to understand? And they are professional gardeners that are employed by the kings and by the Nawabs. They've got knowledge of the quality of the soil. Before planting, they will understand that this soil, in order to give sweeter fruit, we must add this particular ingredient to the soil itself. To the soil itself. They will understand how to prune the tree, what length, like a barber, professional barber. And as he says, sometimes when you prune the tree, it is so straight and level, you can put a charpai. Charpai is a bed on the tree, and you can even sleep on the charpai. They are professionals. This is the word tahzib is the grammatical meaning of the Arabic word hazab. In other words, hazaba yuhazibu tahziban. In other words, to trim the branches so that they are level. This is referred to as tahzib, to be cultured, taken from the root word of the Arabic, taken from the root of the Arabic word hazab. We will find this repeatedly coming in the bayan in the majalis of Maulana Masihullah rahmatullahi alayhi. He don't just speak superficially. He'll go and find the exact meaning of the word, of a word, especially in the Arabic language, that what is the origin of this word, and where does it start from, and what is the meaning there, and how did it develop, and how can I apply to what I'm speaking. See, the word tahzib means to be cultured. All right. So he never just left it at it. He said, wait, where does this word come from? It's an Arabic word, and it comes from hazzaba yuhazzibu tahziban. Now, what does hazzaba mean? You open an Arabic dictionary, it will say there to be cultured. So he said, okay. And accordingly, he brings it now and explains that to be cultured, how do one understand what is it to be cultured? Different people have different understanding of being cultured. The Gawwala, the A'rab, Al-A'rabu ashaddu kufra wa nifaqa wa ajdaru an la ya'lamu hududa ma anzalallahu ala rasuli. The Bedouins, they're not very cultured. That's why Allah Ta'ala says, it's very hard upon them to understand the culture which Allah Ta'ala was explaining in the Qur'an al-Kareem. Allah Ta'ala explains a lot of how to be cultured. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu la tadkhulu buyutakum ghayra buyutakum hatta tasta'nisu wa tusallimu ala ahliha. O believers, before you enter into the homes of other people, don't go in. La tadkhulu, don't enter. until you take istidhan. Istidhan means to take permission. Knock on the door, cultured. You wouldn't like anyone just opening the door and coming into your home. Three times, not more than that. Three times it's cultured. Once Rasulullah was sitting in his Mubarak tent, he was perhaps on journey, and a person just came in. Rasulullah was busy with Hazrat Abu Bakr, radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Sassam told Hazrat Abu Bakr, go and explain to him what to do. Abu Bakr took him out of the tent and said, see, bhai, before you enter into the tent, you must say, Assalamu alaikum. So he learned. On another occasion, a person came and he stood outside and he said, Assalamu alaikum. Nabi Sassam said, who are you? Who is it? He said, Anna, I. Nabi Sassam said, Anna? Be cultured, meaning give her name. What do I understand? It's me. So that's how Nabi Sassam used to make tahzeeb and get culture ingrained into the Sahaba. In everything, you'll find the whole Sharia is culture. When you enter, we enter into our own homes, you must make Assalamu alaikum. Hatta tusallimu ala ahliha. Until you make salam to the people of your own home. This is those who are haughty cultures know that even flowers can be cultured. Even a flower, you can culture a flower also, that must eventually give the best of colors out, best of fragrance. So this tahzeeb is not only for human, but also for trees and even for flowers. Even for desks in our class. Even for the kitabs, do we put it straight, do we put it crooked? You must have culture. Tahzeeb, have tahzeeb akhlaq. Put it straight, put it neat. Even our cupboards, if it's all skew and upside down and things are thrown, we must have culture. Even our homes, we must be culture, everything must be in its proper place. Shall I say more? As he asked. This tahzeeb, this being cultured, is for dogs as well. Those dogs that are kept by the higher nobility, by the Nawabs in the English for the purpose of hunting, are also taught tahzeeb. Subhanallah, you can say Subhanallah. Look where the mind of Hazrat Rahmatullah is going. Even a dog is taught good manners. In Mishkat Sharif, Kitabu Sayyid, the sword Sayyid is taught. Mishkat Sharif is a hadith kitab. In it, there is a chapter on hunting. In this chapter, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has shown the method of training dogs. Allahu Akbar. What do these people, poor people sitting know? They think that only namaz and roza are taught in the Arabic madrasa. And sadly, the monana was learning there, the student also, he thinks, oh, I just learned this, that. That is all they teach. Foolish, unacquainted ones. What do they know? Bhavla jungli kabutar is the actual phrase that has he used on occasions when addressing his young students. It was used affectionately, teasingly, similarly in a phrase, you little monkey, that a father will address his little child with. This is the translator who put this here. As he used to say, Are Bhavle, jungli kabutar. You used to use this with Are Bhavali, you know, you made cap. You made cap. Jungli kabutar. You are wild pigeon. Kabutar and jungli. Like how people tell a child, you little monkey, or you little scully, or whatever. They don't mean it in a disgraceful manner. They mean it in a teasing way. So they say, what do you know? That is why it is vitally important for the student and the ustads to understand the kitab. The one is just reading, qala Rasulullah sallam, qala Allah ta'ala, or reading. The other one is, say, you know, what am I learning? You actually become, when you become an alim, you are becoming an attorney to fight for the cause of Islam, to give masala correctly. You must have your dalail correctly. You mustn't just look at it, oh, ibarat tarjuma. You have to understand the concepts. The holistic teachings in the madaris. Holistic means the beautiful, the wonderful teachings of what is being taught in a madrasa. And I can assure you, Had it not been for Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali, I would never have known all this here. Tell me, with frankness, who's going to word explain the word tahzib? Or in Mishkat Sharif, you'll do Kitab al-Sayyid, hunting. You know, you think it's, there may be, I'm not saying impossible, but how many people were saying, actually, Islam teaches us how to inculcate even habits in a dog. Who's going to use that sentence for you, to explain it to you? You're not going to get it. By and large, you are not. There may be exceptions. We'll carry on with it, just the hadith itself. But from this angle, that what are we actually learning? Very few, unless they've sat in a company of a buzruk, they will be saying, look at it from this angle, that we are becoming more human. A little while ago, I had mentioned that an Englishman said, if we did not have Al-Hidayah, we would not have been able to run a judiciary. This is very important. Al-Hidayah is a very major kitab. It's a very fantastic kitab. The Englishmen, before conquering India, they didn't have a judicial system like how we have now. Now you have the magistrates' court. After that, you go to the high court. You're not yet successful, you go to the appeal court. You go to the supreme court. Then you go to the constitutional court. And there is ways to establish a crime. There's evidence to be given. There's a way the lawyer has to behave. There's a way the judge has to behave. There's a way in which evidence is preserved in a court. Where did they learn all of this here? They had no understanding of what it meant to have a justice system. Till they came to India, Hindustan, and after they conquered and they learned the Urdu language and slowly the Arabic language, and thereafter they studied our kitabs. And they studied Hidayah. And they said, fantastic, man, this is the system. Look at this wonderful system of how justice is established. They read, for instance, you will find Kitab al-Qadha, the book on the judge, Kitab of how the judge must be. When people come into the court and they want to give evidence, whoever comes in the court, the judge is not allowed to make salam to anyone. He mustn't. Very formal. Now, people who don't have aqal, they just take hadith, and they don't want to study under ustad. They'll say, you know what? Al-Badiu bi salami, barim min al-kibr. Nabi Salaam says, the one who starts salam first is free from pride. Whatever of judge this, he can make salam. Or if there is a Amir al-Mu'minin that came to court, the judge will not stand up out of respect for him. He'll sit. Person who don't know, he wants to study on his own, he'll find his own way in life. How is he going to apply the hadith that Rasulullah says, when a leader of a tribe or nation comes to you, then you must stand up out of respect for him, even if it's a non-Muslim. And he is a Muslim, Amir al-Mu'minin. The judge is not allowed to stand up. Why? The situation is different. If the judge stands up for him, that other fellow is, who has got a case against Amir al-Mu'minin, he may just think, oh, I won't get justice here. Amir al-Mu'minin, after all, he's an Amir al-Mu'minin. See, the judge honors him. He may give the verdict against me. So there's so much to knowledge in this deen of Islam has survived through the fuqaha having a deep understanding of what Islam is all about. That's why they couldn't destroy it. Inshallah, they'll never destroy the deen of Islam. The judge is not allowed to accept anyone's da'wah. Even Amir al-Mu'minin is not allowed. Walks on the road, he mustn't greet. If you see anyone, he don't greet. Just looks down, he carries on walking. Must be very formal. So they studied Hidayah. They took from it. They implemented it. And we now think, oh, you know what? Check. At a poor Muslim world, look at them. Yes, like, you go to the masjid, it's dirty, filthy, especially the countries like Pakistan, India, Sudan, Somalia. They're fighting, they're killing, there's no system there. There is no system at all. Because we have left deen. And why we have left deen? Because we don't have yaqeen in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We don't, there's no islah. They can make what they call jihad, 100,000 jihad. They're only killing themselves and getting killed. Killing themselves and that's not a jihad. Jihad is first to make jihad against our nafs and to get an understanding of why we do things. Then it's a different matter. As he says, what do Muslims think? They have this idea that only namaz, roza, zakat, hajj and so forth are taught here. And nothing else in a madrasa. Remember, whatever is being taught in the colleges is also taught here. Whatever in as far as running administration of the world, especially in that time, now we speak about 30 years ago, there wasn't so much computers and all like how we have now. But as far as mannerism is concerned, administration skills are concerned, is taught in the madrasas. I had mentioned a little while back that I visited the university in Cairo. A lecturer was giving a lesson. As I entered, the students clapped according to their custom. I said, clapping of hands is for women. Takbir is for men. The professor explained to me the subject on which he was lecturing. I said that all of that was also taught over here. You know, professor said we teach this subject here. We teach about farming. We teach about political skills. We even teach about politics. I said, all of this is in our madrasa. Even politics, there are kitabs on politics also. What is the definition of siyasa? It comes in the kitabs. What is the definition of politics? What is the definition of justice? They teach it there. We also teach it, but we have an Islamic definition, whereas some of them, they take out whatever from their minds. I did not remain silent over there. Alhamdulillah, with the fadl of Haq Ta'ala, with the barakat of my asatiza and the face of Hazrat Wala Rahmatullahi, I did not remain silent. At that time, the professor was lecturing on the topic of agriculture. So Hazrat was given a chance to speak to the students. I explained that this subject was also taught by us in the madrasa with great detail. The professor turned to the class and told him exactly what I had said. I also added, do not think that it's only your university that this is taught and taught in this manner. Don't think like that. We also have it. Kitab Zara'a. You've done it, you will do it. Agriculture. If there's a canal, in those times there were no taps and all. It was a small little river. It's running past several farms. Who gets when chance to water his farm? What is the method? If everyone is just going, the first guy who's there, if he decides, oh, the river must come, and he starts digging a canal and the water goes there, the others can lay a case against him. So how must it be distributed? The chances of watering one's farm. Are these not matters to be listened to? Or should I just keep on teaching you how to set and make zikrul line abundance? You saw how broad-minded he was. Must I just sit here all day and say, chalo, la ilaha illallah, make zikr whole day. And am I not supposed to tell you that Islam is this here also, that you learn all these things? These are topics that are to be discussed even more in this age, so that the reality of the Arabic madaris is presented in front of you. The ilm here is by means of wahi qat'i, so that you may value it in your minds. The ilm that is of agriculture, of hunting, of justice, it is ilme qat'i, it comes from the Quran in the hadith. It's not as modern knowledge that every time you change, oh, this book is now outdated. Throw away grammar, comprehensive English. Get another one. Get that one out, throw another one. No, this ilm, it's stable. It's all that from Quran and hadith deduced. And the Quran and hadith don't change. So the basics of this ilm is not going to change. You yourself have shown ingratitude for your ilm and have sought prestige from the creation. You yourselves are involved in activities causing dishonor. So how can a question of honor ever arise? Beautiful. We do wrong things. We do wrong things. Then you want everyone to respect us. But why they don't respect me? But why? Look at what you are doing. You are doing evil in your private time, as he is explaining. You yourself can't appreciate what you are learning. We are more interested, Allah forbid, with social networking, whatever it may be, WhatsApp and catch up with this one, catch up. We don't show qadr for ilm. So how, where are we going to get honor for? From? You find the Maulana spending 7 years. And from the first year, they're already thinking, you know what, I'm going to go to university. When I finish, I'm going to go to university. How is he going to get anything? Nur of the ilm. Do you understand the points made? G, know yourself, understand yourself. Don't take your eyes away from yourself. Look at yourself and see yourself. I have related to you some of my travels very briefly. I've seen many parts of the world. I've been to America. I've been to England. I've been to South Africa. Did I observe these places with furtive eyes, or how did I view these places? I did not go for leisure and pleasure. When I was called by you, I went. When people called him, he used to come. And when I went, I saw these places with the view of taking lessons. As you say, I didn't come here to eat in South Africa. I went to take lessons for myself. Before, I used to leave his house whenever he went on journey. Used to make turakat salah, Ya Allah, I'm going for my isra. These lessons I'm presenting to you. Right, now I tell you one incident. As he came to South Africa, it was summer months. It was in Ramzan, it was in December. And you know, Isha is very late, and in Durban even later. And he was in a town maybe 200 kilometers away from Durban. Isha and Azan is 9 o'clock Jamaat, 9:15 Bayan. 45 to 1 hour Bayan. After he's finished with everyone greeting, it is 10:30. Alright? 10:30. They call him for supper. 10:30. He goes, he has his supper. Finished by 11:30 because all the people drag go along now. 11:30, travel 200 kilometers, come back to the place where he's sleeping. Another supper day. It is what time? Close to 1 o'clock. He never said no to anyone. He was too soft-hearted. About 1:45, he goes to sleep. 3:15, he wakes up because the Tahajjud and Fajr. And after waking up, Fajr Namaz, there were some Maulanas who were traveling with him. He looks at the first one. Why did you wear radio Tahajjud? No. Next one, no. Next one. Fourth one, that guy is snoring. He's still snoring. Leave him. Then as he looked at them, there must have been about 10, 12 of them. He said, don't you have food at home? You don't have food at home. You're traveling with me. Aren't you supposed to be worried about your Islam? That was our Wazir Ahmad. He was a very amazing person. So the point which I'm making, we learn for our own Islam. That is our first need. Oh Allah, I must make my Islam. I learn your ilm, ilm of the Quran, Hadith, how to be cultured, how to be well-mannered. May Allah tarakana tawfiq. I don't see you.